Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and sitting next to me is Nate from Strictly Diesel. And Nate does diesel work, and he does lots of work. I think about what you told me not too long ago, 98% of your work was Ford's.
No. 98% is diesel work.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I was going to try to catch you this morning.
Yeah. No, I'm awake. Yeah.
All right. It makes perfect sense to me. But and Chevy, Dodge, and Ford.
Chevy, Dodge, Ford, Nissan.
Okay, going after the Nissan.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I think you'll agree that once you get the fundamentals of diesels, and you understand how we're going to deliver fuel, and you understand how we're going to do timing, and how we're going to, and what the sensors talk about and do, then I think it's easy to make the transitions.
A Bosch fuel system is a Bosch fuel system.
The system is a Bosch.
Yeah, just little idiosyncrasies between manufacturers that change it. So.
Okay. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960 if you have a car question. And today we're going to be talking diesels, but we'll talk about gas stuff. As I can help, you can help me with some of the gas stuff, and we can talk diesels. But 602-508-0960, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto Repair. He's up on I-17 in Deer Valley, family-owned and operated shop. Tom and his staff are really good about customer service, about repair, diagnosis, verifying the repair, actually fix the problem before the car leaves and then the customer finds out. And they have ASE certified master technicians, and that ensures that there's enough experience on the floor to fix the cars right. So that's Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. You know, I ask you to bring some work orders, because I wanted to talk about the symptoms they talk about and then what the actual repair is.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what's really crawled into my drawers and bit me pretty hard is YouTube stuff. YouTube and Google and that kind of stuff. I am getting increasingly, it's tough for me to bite my tongue sometimes, because someone will call me at work or someone will email me and talk about their car, and then they'll tell me that somebody on Google said this, and I'm saying to myself, I don't even know what we're talking about.
Right.
Is it an oil leak? Is it a suspension knock? Is it a no start? Is it a die in flight? I don't even know what it is, but all of a sudden I've got this guy on Google or on YouTube that's telling you how to fix your car, and he's only as good as the symptoms you give him.
Right.
And that's the real problem.
Yeah.
Because we all know that people will come in and say, and I use this tongue in cheek, the wife will say, my husband says
yes.
It has a bad drive shaft. And so then we'll write down, husband says bad drive shaft, and then we go drive the car, and it's got an egg on the tire that's causing a vibration that he has interpreted, him and the Google group,
right,
and the YouTube people have interpreted as a bad drive shaft.
Right.
So those are difficult things to do. If I had my wish and if I was king of the world for one day, I would insist that everybody just talk about the symptoms. Don't tell me about all this other stuff. So we're going to talk about symptoms, but I want to tell you a story that's just true as true as true. There are very few people that have my cell phone number. My wife is one of them. She had a friend of hers that went back east. They're driving their truck. In 3 hours of conversation, I can get this. It just does it intermittently. No, what is it doing?
Yeah, what is it doing?
Yeah. No, it just does it. It doesn't know what to do. It just does it. Okay, we need, and so I get on the internet and I start looking for shops in Ohio, and I find a couple of good shops, 5-star rating, been around a long time, and I said, stop by one of these shops and have them try. Can you duplicate it? No, it happens on the freeway. Okay, take them on the freeway, but practice making it happen.
Right.
So 3 days later, and more than 200 minutes on the phone, somebody says, I think you need a transmission. And I said, I think that's an expensive guess. Did they give you an estimate? Yeah, $6,800.
Yeah.
So what happens if you put a tranny in that truck and you start home and you got the same problem? Well, there's no codes. Everybody says there's no codes. And I'm thinking to myself, are we really down to diagnosing? And if there is no codes, then we don't know what to do next?
It's come to that a little bit, unfortunately. Yes.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And they were told that. So I said to her, if it's a, and it's supposed to be a torque converter problem now. So if it's a torque converter problem, I want you to, do you have manual shift? You have up and down buttons and you have manual. I want you to pull it out of overdrive and I want you to put it here and I want you to manually shift it up and shift it down and I want to know how it does. I can't tell. What do you mean you can't tell? Well, it's just a different feel. I don't know if it's there or not. Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Now what I want you to do is go down the road. Can you get it to happen? Well, it happens intermittently. Okay, well then I don't care. You're in Ohio, I'm in Arizona. If you want me to help you, I'll help you. But you get on the road and figure it out and get it to happen, whatever it is. And she calls it a shutter.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. And so I said, now when you get the shutter, keep your right foot on the gas and just gently tap the brake pedal. Not enough to slow the vehicle down, just enough to shine the lights. And I want to know if the shutter's still there. She says, I can't tell. Well, wait a minute. If you got it and then you don't got it, I need some help on this. So then, this is a true story. We go, I don't know how many phone calls. I really don't know how many phone calls. Well, a lot of phone calls. And then she takes it to a shop and he says, we don't know. And then another shop says, we can't make it happen and you can't make it happen. So we can't tell you what it is. And then the dealership says, based on the miles, it's probably a transmission. And her and her husband are going all over.
Sure.
It's on a trailer coming back to Phoenix. To your shop.
Oh, it is. Okay.
No, it's not. It's coming to mine. It's coming to mine. $1,600, I think, is the trailer cost to bring it back here. Because they go to Ohio all the time, I'm going to put one of two trannies in that if it needs a tranny.
Right.
I'm going to put a Jasper or a dealer.
Right.
I'm going to do, because she has to have warranty in Ohio.
Exactly.
She has to have warranty.
Yeah.
And I know Jasper will take care of it, and I know the dealer will take care of it, GM, Ford, whatever it is.
Yep.
It's a Chevy.
Yep.
So those are that's the reason why I said to my wife, how did she get my number? I may have given it to her at one time or another, but I could answer car questions for the rest of my life if my cell phone were to get out.
Exactly.
But the idea is that I'm glad we helped her. I know for sure that we're going to get that done, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Have we got somebody, Gil?
Yes, we do. Say hello to Carolyn.
Carolyn, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good. Well, I just wanted to thank you so much for your show, your excellent advice. This is a perfect segue for what you were talking about, a problem that couldn't be duplicated, and you're frustrated trying to get it repaired. Our Ford F-150, every time we would start it here at home, it would take 7 times, 8 times to start it because it was, going, hope that's a good sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would take it to the shop, and they could never duplicate it. So the frustration was building with us. Finally, we took it to Kurtz Auto because you had recommended them to us. And, of course, they found out what was wrong. It was the flex plate flywheel, some people call it, flex plate.
Yes.
And, oh, my gosh, you should see that thing. It's so gnarly and chewed up. And it destroyed two starters we had because we had people replacing the starter instead of getting to the root of the problem.
Yep.
So thank you so much for recommending Kurtz. Shout out to them for fixing it and showing us the parts and letting us know exactly what happened.
Thank you. And the beauty of it is that what really works really well under the circumstances you just described is it's give and take. And there's three answers to every question from the shop. Yes, no, or I don't know. And it's the guys that can't say I don't know. And then they guess, which then sends us to Tombstone when really we want to go to Flagstaff.
Exactly.
And you say to a lady, there's three answers, yes, no, or I don't know, and feel free to use them anytime you want. But the guys will never do that.
Right.
They'll guess. Well, no, it's a drive shaft. No, I'm asking specific symptoms. But thank you for the attaboy of Kurtz. I'm especially blessed because of the shops that I talk about. It's been 3 years since we've had a complaint about one of my shops, and the one complaint we had, because of the non-performance of the shop, I removed them from the shop, from the list, and within days, they gave the customer back the agreed amount of money, and I let them come back on. Then they had another problem, and they haven't been seeing the light of day since then. So we are pretty tight with respect to the shops. Nate's sitting here next to me. Never mind that he's like 10'6" and I'm 5'1", but I've never had a complaint on your shop.
Oh, that's great.
Never had a complaint on shop. There's a lot of shops I haven't had a complaint, and every once in a while there is. Now, there was a time that Kurt's had a problem. And it was just a customer who had expectations that this vibration was something you could see on a hoist. No, you got to drive it and feel it in the seat of your pants or the steering wheel or the windows. Where is the vibration coming from?
Right.
But you can't do it just by sitting in the driver's seat. So, but anyway, thank you for that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
All right. Well, I've been blessed by the Lord with good mechanical skills. I'm trying to make up for all the bad things I did when I was younger.
Oh, you're a wonderful guy. We're so grateful.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. All righty. But that is a difficult thing, is the symptoms analysis. And then not too long ago, the customer says, you just got to drive it a long way. And I said, you know, I'll put somebody in there and drive it to Tucson and back, but it's got to happen. And I need the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 written down. Where's the temperature gauge at? Is the air conditioning on or off? What gear are you in? How fast are you going? Is there a tachometer? On and on and on. I need you to give me the parameters to stick.
Yes.
And
1 minute.
It's difficult to do that. It's difficult.
Does the vehicle smoke when it happens? Is there a run rough when it first starts? You know, is it a vibration at 75? It's okay at 60, but 75 it starts shaking the wheel.
Is it shaking the wheel? Yeah, it is. Okay, is it side to side or up and down, or how is it shaking the wheel? Well, I don't know. I can't stick my head out the window. Oh, you're thinking tire and wheel, and I'm thinking steering wheel.
Yeah.
See how that goes?
Yeah.
And you know, because we've been around a long time, between the two of us, how many years you got?
So, 35, was it?
Okay, and I'm 40. Yeah. So we got, between the two of us, do the math real quick, 75 years that conversation is difficult to have, because we kind of have to steer them in the direction that we want them to go, as opposed to what they want to tell us.
Right.
And you just, my eyes glaze over when I hear, well, according to Google or according to YouTube, I politely say to people, if he was really as good as he says he is, he'd be working for me for $50,000 to $100,000 a year. He wouldn't be messing around on the internet telling people how to fix their cars.
Yeah.
What kind of car do you have? And they tell you. And then I say, does he know that? Well, he knew I had a Chevy pickup. Well, there's a big difference between a half ton and a three quarter ton and a one ton and a four wheel drive and a part time four wheel drive and an all time four. Those are the questions that you have to ask.
Right, right.
So it's difficult at best. 602-508-0960 are the numbers. Nate's got tremendous diesel experience, and he handles the everything north of the river, we'll say. Everything north of the river he handles with diesel stuff. And we've been friends for, well, when you first moved in to North Scottsdale.
Yeah, I think so.
How long ago was that?
That was 05.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because that's when Alan popped out of the ground, shortly after that.
Okay.
So, and you helped us out a lot, but when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the symptoms and then the actual repair.
Let's do it.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem and Nate from Strictly Diesel at your service. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. There's one transmission shop in town that I know the owner, I know their skill level, but more importantly than anything else is they've been in business rebuilding and fixing transmissions since 1968, and we're talking about Automatic Transmission Exchange down on 40th Street in Washington. It's kind of like Fred Flintstone and computers. Fred Flintstone started off where a computer was an abacus, and then we moved into all these fancy stuff, and now all of a sudden our cars are computerized. And they automatically know when you stink, they drop the windows and turn the fan on. Stuff like that.
Right.
Really, really. You've got this. And they've gone from a transmission that had a vacuum modulator and it shifted the car based on RPM of a centrifugal device and then sometimes engine vacuum to complete computer controlled. And you better know what you're doing. So if you have a transmission problem, you want someone to look at a leak. You want someone to drive the car because you can duplicate the problem. then automatic transmission exchange is a place that I think you should take it. 602-508-0960. We're not doing just diesel stuff. We will do diesel stuff, but if you've got a gas problem or an RV problem or a suspension problem or a brake problem or a vibration in the steering wheel or in the seat of your pants or the whole car, those are things that we can handle. It's going to be give and take, so you'll call us and tell us what kind of car you got. Vehicle, could be a motorhome.
Yep.
Tell us what the symptoms are, and then we're going to ask questions, and we're going to see if we can get kind of close to it. Of course, we won't know today if we got close to it, if we hit the nail on the head.
Right.
But every once in a while, it's easy to tell if you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where's the vibration? In the seat of my pants. Oh, okay. Well, we're good.
Yep.
Oh, it's all over the car. I need a little. How about the steering wheel? Compare the steering wheel to the seat of your pants. Oh, I can't. Then, you know, you okay, well, I got to drive it.
Yeah.
Anyway, 602-508-0960. We've got oil issues. We don't have oil issues, but we've got new oil coming out all the time. And people are real confused about, they have two different cars in their family, and they have two different weights of oil. And we're seeing that a lot. I think what you really need to do is just leave it up to your shop that does your oil changes, and most of us have software that tells us what kind of oil, what brand, but it's a conventional oil, a semi-synthetic, or a synthetic. I think in the diesel arena, we're doing all synthetic. Are you doing the same?
I'm doing a semi, and I'm also doing some full synthetic.
Okay, so your semi is like a 1540?
Yep.
Okay, and then a 540?
540.
Okay.
Yep.
And then the oil change intervals, what's the difference between the two of them?
Nothing at this point. We do 5,000.
So, okay, all the way down the line. Okay,
yep.
All right, and that's a difficult decision, because there's people out there that go, well, the owner's manual says I can do 12 or 15,000 miles.
So, we recommend 5,000, but does the owner do that? Is the next question, because the truck hasn't told me yet. Uh-huh. Even though your sticker says 5,000, the truck hasn't told me I need it yet. So I'm going to wait till the truck tells me. So we do have people that go over 5, but.
And you're right, but here's the thing, is sometimes the shop, and my shop's done it, I'm sure yours has too, we forget to reset the light.
Yes,
and
it happens.
And the oil maintenance light, the oil reminder light, and we forget to reset it, which, it'll call you back in 2,000 miles because
exactly.
We didn't reset it.
Yeah.
And so that creates all kinds of problems. With the technology, it's difficult at best sometimes to really figure out without having sitting down with your customer and saying, how many miles a year do you drive? How long are your trips? Does your husband drink and drive? You know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You have to have, it's difficult. And then you have all the oils are backward compatible. So the fanciest, danciest 060 synthetic is backward compatible to the 70s car.
Right.
That's going to be kind of hard to have a guy who's got some hot rod car that was the first car that he ever had a kiss in, and he's going to say, you're going to put a 050 synthetic in my 283 or 327 or 289 Ford?
I can remember putting 20W50 in my 1973 Ford.
I remember putting 50 weight in my 61 Chevy pickup because it drank so much oil that 50 weight, the peanut butter in the 50 weight, helped control the oil consumption.
Right.
So I had one cylinder that was drinking oil more than gas, and finally somebody said, well, just step up the weight. And so I went to 5 quarts of 50 weight, and it helped control it.
Yeah.
But, of course, if I would have been in Flagstaff, that would have been a huge step backwards because of the cold mornings.
Exactly.
And the 50 weight's not going to provide a good lubrication pattern that early in the morning.
Nope.
602-508-0960. We're talking diesels, but you can talk cars and vibrations, and you can say, my husband wants a new truck, and I want a Nissan, and he wants a Dodge, and all that other kind of stuff. We're really great with those marriage questions.
We're not opinionated at all.
No, not at all.
No.
But the idea in the car repair industry right now is as you probably know, there are some large companies that have stepped into Phoenix and have started buying independent repair shops. There's one of the companies that has gone after some of the tire stores and in a fail swoop bought 7 tire stores.
Wow.
And basically retired the guys that had built those stores from the ground up. Then we got another group on the mechanical side, and a while back they bought 28 stores, and they've just recently come back into town and they're buying more stores. And so it's a matter of making money, taking these businesses And I'm quite sure that someone could take my business. I can guarantee you someone could take my business and they could squeeze more money out of my business than I am. I just can't spend every day of my life, every hour of my life trying to cut every penny in half right. and figure out, you know, what's the cost per labor hour of electricity? I don't really care. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
But those are the kinds of things that we have in front of us. And makes a big difference. But anyway, there's a lot of that going on right now. There's a whole lot of we're starting to see the gap between dealers, specialty shops, chain stores, and independents. We're starting to see them overlapping one another, and that's a good thing, I think. The issue is that we, you and I, as independent guys, can't do warranty work on the newer cars.
No.
And it doesn't do any good for them to have us diagnose it because it's a cost they're not going to be reimbursed for.
Right.
So if you have a car under warranty, then you have to go back to the dealers. One of the things that bothers me, not necessarily about the dealers, but what's going on right now in a big way, is people are getting locked into a shop. And so they might get their next oil change free. Well, when they come in for the next oil change, I have firsthand knowledge that, oh, you need brakes. And you need a drive axle, and your air conditioning is 1.2 ounces low on refrigerant, and the right front tire shows some abnormal wear on the outside, which means we need an alignment and at least two tires. So that freebie, that nicey, that bring you back in, is there's something tied to it.
Sure.
There's something tied to it. And if every time you go in and you're told you need something and it's a whole lot of money, it's time to get a second opinion.
Right.
Because the shop could be right, but it's time to get a second opinion. So 602-508-0960, Nate from Strictly Diesel sitting here with me. I'm Mark Salem. I've been doing radio in the Valley since 1988, and we talk about cars, and unfortunately, both of us, we're going to tell you what we believe and not necessarily puff any smoke anywhere. And but if you have a family argument, we're really good at that.
Oh, I'm out.
I'll raise my hand. You got a family argument, I'll do it. 602-508-0960. Geographically, in my opinion, in Sun City, the largest and most trusted source for complete automotive services happens to be Automotive Dynamics. I've known Chuck since the, 1970s, and Chuck is the guy that owns Auto Dynamics. He's on the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. And Chuck has an interesting way to compensate his technicians. Unlike many people in the industry, he doesn't pay them a commission because he's worried that they're going to sell you something that you don't need so that they can butter their bread a little bit deeper with better butter. The fact of the matter is it's an interesting concept, but it ensures that because the technicians are not paid a commission, that they're not going to sell unnecessary parts or labor. So that's Automotive Dynamics, and they're on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. Nick, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Yeah, Mark, I got a couple questions about diesels. I have a 21 Colorado 2.8 liter, the small Duramax.
Okay.
And I'll just ask the two questions and then get off the phone and listen to you guys' answer.
Okay.
What are your opinions on buying DEF out of the pump at a truck stop? And then the other question is changing full synthetic. How much more is my truck going to love me if I change it at 5,000 or what the computer says, which runs at about 7,300? Okay, thanks a lot. You guys have a good day.
Oh, no, Stacey, you can stay here. You can stay here. It's okay. DEF. Does it make any difference where you get your DEF?
Not in my opinion, no, especially truck stop. That should be fresh.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was thinking if I had my choice, I'd get it at the truck stop.
Absolutely.
Because it's fresh. When those guys take on a load of DEF, we're talking about 20, 30, 40 gallons.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about the rest of the trucks, the Chevy Dodges and Fords? What's the DEF tank?
They've increased the size a little bit. It used to be 5 gallon across the board, but now they're between 8 and 10.
Okay.
on the bigger trucks. So yeah.
Okay. Now diesel exhaust fluid for everybody else. This is my explanation on diesel exhaust fluid. You have your charcoal grill, and you sprinkle a little bit of this stuff on top of the briquettes, and then you light it on fire. And it helps consume the briquettes or the carbon.
Right.
And diesel exhaust fluid is something that we spray into the catalytic converter to light that baby real red hot and burn as much of the exhaust as we can in a very simplistic way.
That's very simplistic, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're trying to get rid of NOx
right.
with it. So.
But we're also the particulate filters,
right.
and that particulate filter is after the catalytic converter. And so we've got this big mess of exhaust, black, sooty, carbon exhaust that we want to clean up, and what comes out of the back of the truck is nothing.
Right.
That's what we want to do. So DEF, I buy it at the truck stop in the motorhome. I buy it at the truck stop, and I'd buy it in my truck. I would have no problem.
Yep.
Some guy was telling me the other day that he's found that Walmart has the cheapest DEF he can find, and he buys a lot of it from Walmart.
Okay.
The problem is the biggest container you can get, I think, is a 2 gallon?
2.5.
2.5.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know if they had, I knew they had a 2.5. I didn't know if they had a 5. So 2.5's not bad.
Not bad. But again, how long has it been sitting? And
you're right.
They tell you to keep it away from heat. So has it been in a warehouse in Arizona for 6 months, or has it, you know, been in an air-conditioned Walmart since it got there? You know, who knows?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So and diesel exhaust fluid is DEF. How many times a week or a month do you get something that comes in on a tow truck that has DEF in the fuel tank, which is where it's not supposed to be?
No. Horrible.
Okay.
We've got one in the shop right now that we're replacing the entire fuel system because they accidentally put DEF.
And ran it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so DEF is a very caustic acid. And when you're supposed to put it, you're not supposed to put it in your fuel tank. But I must confess, I have lots of customers that have made that decision.
I almost did it one time. Scared the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're in a hurry. You got to get going. You got to do it. And, you know.
We have found, because we do a lot of those for insurance companies, that if they don't start the car, the bill is I'll ask you, the short side of the bill, how much is it going
to
be?
Short side, two to 3,000.
Okay. And they didn't start it and run it.
Didn't start it.
All we have is in the tank.
Right.
Okay. And then on the top side of the bill?
15.
I was going to say 10 to 15.
Yeah.
So on the 2,000 to 3,000, you're doing what? What does it take to recover and put that truck back on the road?
Drain the tank, remove it, clean it, probably fuel filters.
Okay.
Flush the lines out, and
1 minute.
Probably a new fuel pump too, depending on how long it's sat, and away you go.
Okay. And the fuel pump is in the tank of fuel, and it's not supposed to have this caustic acid that's put inside there, and the fuel pump's going to take a beating.
Right.
So those are the kinds of issues that you're going to have. If you put DEF in your diesel fuel tank accidentally, you should contact your insurance company because they oftentimes, this is from one of the guys that I know really well, we insure stupid. And that's true.
It happens.
Yeah.
It just happens.
We insure stupid things that our customers do, and we bring them out. We fix them after they make stupid decisions.
One comment I'll make is if the pump is in the tank or even on the frame rail, do not turn the key on.
Yes.
Do not. Stop right there. Call a tow truck. Get it to your shop ASAP.
And that's the most important thing is because when we put the DEF in, the DEF is going to settle in the bottom of the tank.
Yeah.
And the diesel fuel is going to be on top of it.
Yep.
So when you turn the key on, the first thing that happens is that fuel pump is ignited. It sucks that acid. It's basically battery acid. Can we call it what it is?
Sure.
It's battery acid. This battery acid is then sent forward through steel lines into the injectors and into the cylinders. You have just caused a tremendous amount of damage.
Yep.
Tremendous amount of damage.
Yep.
I don't know how we're ever going to fix that. Because it's a human error.
It's human error, yeah.
We're
going to touch on his oil question when we get back.
Okay, and when we do, we're going to come right back and we're going to talk about oil change intervals. And I'll give you from the insurance company side, I'll give you from the manufacturer side, and then you and I can talk about the consumer side because that's the real problem.
Sure.
Is the comfort zone of the container.
Yep.
602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Nate from Strictly Diesel at your service. Mark Salem. And we're both sitting here helping you out with questions and problems that you have with cars. And you're welcome to give us a call at 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And we left because Nick had a question about DEF, and then he also had a question about engine oil.
Yep.
Okay. I don't go.
We recommend 5,000.
Okay.
Just for longevity.
Okay.
If you're looking to keep the truck, do it at 5.
Okay. Now we have a new caller named Mark. And Mark, can we talk? He's got an oil question as well, so we'll just kill both of them at the same time. Mark, good morning. How can we help you?
Hey, real quick, the cost of a conventional oil change, and before you had talked about having oil sitting in your garage 10, 15 years and said there was a Pennzoil says there's a expiration date, and you were kind of good at, no, it's still okay.
It depends on the weight of the motor. It depends on the
10W30.
Okay, 10W30 is a universal oil. I mean, we can put that in a diesel, in a conventional. We could put it, sure, if we wanted to. We could put it in a diesel. We could put it in a Corvette. We can put it wherever we want it. A 1030, a 1040, a 2050. It's when you get to the
shelf life on that in a garage.
There is no shelf life for oil.
Okay.
Yeah, there is no shelf life. Now, I don't know if your wife brings home a brand new Maserati. I'm not quite sure I want a bunch of 1030 of a conventional nature in that Maserati. So make sure the application is okay. But what do you run in your truck?
1540.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your miles on your oil change intervals?
5,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's 1540 is a full synthetic.
Full synthetic.
Okay.
Yep.
So the I thought the 1540 was a blend.
We also carry a 1540 full synthetic that,
okay,
I've been told is not true, but yet it's given to me that way.
I understand. I understand.
But, yeah, I use it, and I've had great luck with it, success, and yeah.
Okay, so Mark, with respect to conventional oil, in my opinion, and I've been trained by Valvoline and Chevron, conventional oil's got a 3,000 to 5,000 mile interval, conventional oil. And a semi-synthetic is 5 to 7,500. And then a synthetic oil, full-blown synthetic, is from 7,500 to 15,000, depending on the owner's manual of your car.
Gotcha. What is an average oil change for, just the regular oil change?
5 quarts of conventional oil with a filter and all the other stuff is probably in the vicinity of, I'm gonna talk about market pricing, $30 to $50. Are you okay with that?
Told me $75 by almost fell over.
Okay.
Everything's gone up as of late, too, though. So.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Semi-synthetic, if you're in that range, semi-synthetic, you're going to be in the $75, give or take, on the top. And then on a full synthetic, it depends on how many quarts. How much does your diesel hold? How many quarts?
14 quarts.
14 quarts.
Yeah.
On a 5-quart synthetic car, you're going to be well over $100. But on your diesel, what's your diesel oil changes for a 15-quart synthetic?
Close to 200.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. So there, we got all these moving parts, but I'm going to tell you what the safe thing to do. Your owner's manual is the Bible for your car. You should do what it says to do. And if you do everything right, then you should enjoy long life. My truck just rolled 155, my Dodge truck.
Nice.
In 2012, I got it before DEF came out. Or
right.
And I just was coming back from Payson last night, and I looked down, and I just rolled 155. I'm going to ask Alan today, I'm sure we've done all of our rubber and all of our fluids already. If we haven't, I'm due. There's
right.
No question about that. But
sure.
We usually do that at 100,000 mile intervals on most of our customers and our fleet vehicles, is all the rubber and all the fluids at 100,000. Do you guys have like transfer cases? Do you guys just throw those in with differentials?
No, we'd recommend transfer case separate.
Okay.
And in Arizona, the transfer case is the most forgotten fluid.
I agree with you.
Everywhere.
I agree with you.
You know.
So what are you telling people on the transfer case?
We usually take a sample of it and see what color it is, and if it comes out black like their engine, you need a service.
Okay,
and the
transformation of color is the contamination and carbon that the oil is going to create
right.
as it's being used up.
Right,
and so we don't. That's a tough thing to do on color because there's unscrupulous guys out there that are going to use color as something. Oh, it's no longer amber color. You need an oil change. I'm not going to go along with that because we don't know how many miles it's got on it. If it's
right.
got 200 miles on it and the customer hasn't changed the oil in a long time, all we've done is discolor the oil a little bit. Doesn't really have a lot to do with its performance at that point.
Right.
But, I can tell you, it's my truck, I'm doing 15,000 miles on synthetic oil. We pour Chevron, but I don't care if it's Mobil, I don't care if if I was using I think I'm using a five weight synthetic.
Okay.
I don't even know, what does the Dodge call for? 5 or 15?
540 or 540.
540. I know it's a 540 because I remember looking at the gun not too long ago. So I'm using a 540 in mine. I'm going 15,000 miles. I don't do a lot of city driving. Most of mine is between Payson and Tempe, Payson and Tempe.
Payson. You're on the freeway with that all the time.
Right.
So.
And I'm not putting a lot of water in it because I'm running it warm. Right. I'm usually hauling something. And it doesn't do lots of stop-and-go traffic. And it doesn't. And when it goes through a heat cycle, it goes to a complete heat cycle.
Right.
And so we get it fully warmed up, and then we cool it off. And it's 93 miles door-to-door. And Renee's usually driving, and she's doing like 120 anyway. So it doesn't really make any difference. But it is what it is. All righty, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and I don't think I owe him a break.
No?
Do I owe you a break?
You're good until the top of the hour.
Oh, I'm going to take it to the top of the hour.
There we go.
That's what we're supposed to do. The issue that with oil change intervals, that in my opinion, this is just Mark Salem's opinion. You can chime in. I want you to chime in. My industry... Our industry is using that as, when we used to get your car every 3,000 miles, we'd sell you a tire rotation every other oil change, and then we'd do cooling system flushes, and we'd do brakes, and we'd do belts, and we'd do hoses, and so eat those oil changes. Well, now we've got people out there that are doing 10 and 15,000 miles between oil changes, and we've lost all the business that was related to those five stops that normally they would be at our shop.
Right.
And so as a result of that, there are people in the industry that are taking advantage of that, which makes that taste in my mouth a little worse, because we're really not doing what's in the customer's best interest. We're doing what's really is the lost sales that we have. So we're making up our own numbers. We're making up our own stuff.
Yeah.
Who might we have?
Say good morning to Garrett.
Garrett, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, wonderful. Glad to hear the, I think it's Nate from Strictly Diesel. I hear those commercials all the time. I just turned on the radio, and I miss your show a lot. I'm curious to know if you have a podcast or a recorded show. I can listen to it later on.
Yeah, if you go to MarkSalem.com, every radio show for the last probably 8 years is there. And here's the good news. The radio shows are 2 hours long, but once I cut all the commercials out, they're an hour and 30 minutes. And so
I like that.
Every single radio show that we've done in a very long time is on MarkSalem.com. And just go to the radio archives, and you can listen to the show, and you can download the show from there.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for all you do. A lot of good information.
Well, thank you, Garrett. Thank you very much. In our industry, I think when we don't look at the good, we used to do oil changes, and they were $8.95, $12.95, $15.95 for 5 quarts and a filter.
Right.
So now we have these synthetic oil changes on a passenger car that are well over $100.
Yeah.
So we're making good money on the oil. We're making filter. We're making the labor, and it's gone, and it's better. We need, but then still there are a minority in our industry that still believe that, and here's, I'm going to pretend I'm them. Mrs. Jones, you don't drive your car enough, and we need to change your synthetic oil every 3,000 miles because you're really not using that oil as it should. And all you do is go to the liquor store and Walmart once a week.
Right.
And that's all you do. And so you just need to bring that thing in every 3,000 miles. And then my response would be, well, why don't we put her in conventional? The motor's not going to know the difference.
No.
And there's no monitor in there that knows the quality of the oil. So if she's if you're going to do a 3,000 mile oil change, then take her out of synthetic and put her in conventional.
Yeah.
The other problem is in spite of what we put on the sticker, they ain't coming in when the sticker says to come in.
Does the sticker get faded? Does it fall off the windshield? You know, yeah.
If you put a 5,000 mile call on a sticker, give me just a guess of what you think the car has on it when you see it next.
Oh, 65 to 8,500 miles.
Right. Yeah. They've gone quite a bit past what we anticipated they were. Now, but the biggest problem I see in our industry is we have, I don't remember, I'm going to guess here, we had something like 80 different makes of cars and trucks in our database, and we had more than 250 models, and each one of them has an owner's manual, and I am unable to come to some kind of a blanket statement about oil changes.
Right.
You can't do it.
No, you can't do it.
And the default has to be the owner's manual.
Right.
And whatever the owner's manual is, that's okay. Now, if the owner's manual says to use a synthetic and they want you to come in at 4,000 miles, I'm perfectly comfortable to taking that to 8 and even 10 if it's a full synthetic. I'm capable. I'm comfortable with that because you're really driving the car pretty hard.
Most likely.
Yeah. And it's not going to the liquor store and back, and it's not going to church and back, and it's not going to the grocery store and back, and it never gets warmed up, and it's like a horse that walks everywhere it goes, and it's going to die an early death because nobody took it out and ran it.
Exactly.
And so we have those people that do that, that have those cars that just go 3 miles here, 5 miles there, and come back home. We need that car to go through a heat cycle. And I'll say, do you got grandkids in town? Yeah. Why don't you have your grandkids run that up to Flagstaff next weekend? Do they go skiing at the Snow Bowl? Have them take your car. Let's run it. Because we'd really like to take that horse and get it into a full gallop for some period of time and not have it drop dead of you know, a heart attack.
Exactly. Yep.
So, and it's difficult as well.
Yep. Yep.
Have we got a caller?
I think so.
Yes, say hello to John.
John, good morning. How can we help you?
I had Mark, one of those gray-haired guys. I had a repair shop, transmission shop back east in New York State for 35 years. I'm 84 years old now and moved out here 12 years ago. And in reference to these people in the garages that are upselling, I've had an experience with tires, and I went to one of the major tire places, bought four tires for my 94 Chrysler, and bought the extended warranty, and I went back with a nail in the side. Well, the extended warranty, it ended up being like $28 to get that tire by the time you paid this, that, and everything else, so I'm kind of against that. But the main thing I called is, I've gone with back to the same place to have tires checked, you know, for air and stuff, and these 17-year-old kids, and I know that's what they are because he mentioned that he was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And twice I went there, and, oh, your front tires should be replaced. You know, they're 40% worn out. I said, son, I had a repair shop. I think I'm going to use the extra 60% myself before I replace them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just keep upselling. And when I first came out here, I went to another major tire place. And, again, this what you call a pimply face kid comes out. I came for an oil change on my truck that had over 100,000 on it.
2 minutes.
And he says, you know, you really need upper control arm bushings. I says, really? I says, why? He says, well, they're cracked. I says, are they loose? He says, no. Do they make any noise? He says, no. I says, if it was your truck, would you replace them? He said, no. I says, so why would I? I says, when I had my shop, if they were cracked and squeaking, as long as they were tight and weren't loose, I'd spray them with a little rubber lube.
Yeah, yeah,
it takes
yeah.
the squeak away. And, you know, it's just lately, you know, maybe I'm getting too old, I don't know, but when I had my shop, I honestly ran an honest shop. I didn't upsell that you didn't need it. I mean, we had an oil change. We checked your brakes, and if we estimated 10,000 miles left, I'd say, you got approximately 10,000 miles in my estimation. Your next grease job, come in and just remind me to check them again, which we did automatically.
One minute.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just so sick and tired of this upselling that really doesn't need it. And I understand, I mean, I started in the 60s after I got out of the service, that the cars needed your attention more often than you do today. No two ways about it, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm up against a break, and I'm going to say I agree with everything that you've said.
Yes.
I'm going to make some comments on the other side of the break. We've created this problem ourselves. The auto repair industry has created this problem, and all of a sudden we went from a car that we needed to see every 3,000 miles to a car that we never see every 15,000 miles. And unfortunately, as you well know as a shop owner, it's going to be kind of tough to keep the doors open if that is what you're going to end up with. So the upselling and selling them stuff that they don't need is a certain symptom for our industry, and we'll talk about that more. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, Nate from Strictly Diesel is sitting here next to me. And Nate knows blue smoke from black smoke, and he knows he can actually listen to the engine blindfolded and tell you if it's a Dodge, a Ford, or a Chevy. Isn't that right?
It drives my kids crazy when I do that. Yeah, and I've got them halfway trained, too, so it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
I know. It really is. When the kids were younger, I'll admit that there was times I threw stuff on the wall that wasn't true, just to impress them, but I knew they didn't know any different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was the way it is. Okay, I'm going to talk to you about a great shop in town, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Is Larry Harker's Auto. Has been around in Phoenix since 1967, from auto electrical work, brake service, vehicle emissions, oil changes. Why does the car quack on Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock when I first started up? That kind of stuff, they can handle everything. And I can't tell you how many times I've sent someone there that had a problem that people were estimating into the thousands, or no one could find it. And they have pulled a rabbit out of their hat. So Bob and Ellen own Larry Harker's Auto, and Ellen is the front counter, and Bob is in the shop, and between the two of them, they have amassed a great group of people that know right from wrong. So if you're in that area, 38th Avenue and Indian School, and then Larry Harker's Auto Repair. And then real quick, John had called the old transmission shop owner, and we
yes.
talked about that in the break. We agree with everything he said.
Yes.
It's a difficult thing that we're doing. These huge changes, when we went from conventional to synthetic, was a huge change. When we went from points and condenser to electronic ignition, it was a change. When we went to a carburetor with an electric solenoid on it that metered the fuel, and then we went from there to fuel injection, and now we don't have distributors. Now we have a fuel pump in the tank. Now we have 8 injectors and 8 spark plugs. Now we have a car that transmits all the data in the car to the cloud.
Right.
We have all of this stuff going on, and we have cars with computers that are sophisticated beyond belief.
Yep.
And the car can make its own mind up based on parameters, and it can save your butt sometimes, too. So those are the kinds of things that we have, and there's no excuse. What really is the default is the owner's manual. And I say that because that takes me off the hook, and I don't have to side with the guy who wants to do 40,000 miles between oil changes and the guy that wants to do 3,000-mile oil changes on his brand-new Chevy, Ford, Honda, Toyota, Dodge.
Right.
I don't have to pick up. Just go to the owner's manual, and whatever the owner's manual, it's written for your vehicle, and stick with those parameters. Except for one thing, and I'll give you an example of an except.
Sure.
If it talks about that you change your oil at 10,000 miles and that'll take you 2 years, I'm probably not going to do that. That tells me you hardly drive your car, and there's probably a whole lot of water in your oil because you're never really bringing the engine up to operating temperature.
Yep.
And so I'm going to put you in a semi-synthetic, and I'm going to have you come in every 5,000 miles. So we can modify you and your miles and your car. There are ways, because we have 3 kinds of oil, conventional, semi-synthetic, and synthetic. We can make it work with the mileages of all of that. And so let's go to the phones. George, good morning to you. How can you help? How can we help you?
Well, good morning. I'm in the market to buy a small motorhome that can haul a 2-horse trailer. And I'm going back and forth between the V10 and a diesel. And I need some expert advice as what would give me the best non-service thing,
and
whether or not I can find a used one.
Okay, but you already know that the ones you're looking at, whether it's the V10 or a diesel, you already know that the gross combined weight, which is the motorhome loaded, the trailer loaded, that number is less than the gross combined weight of the truck and trailer. So we don't have to deal with the weight ratios. We don't have to deal with how much the horses weigh, how much the trailer weighs, because you've done all of that. You're just asking us to, under that kind of a choo-choo train, with the motorhome on the front and a 2-horse behind it, with a saddles, maybe a bale of hay on the top of it, we get that. Go ahead, you first.
If he was just the motorhome,
yeah,
I'd say V10.
Okay.
But the fact that he wants to haul the 2-horse, I think you got to go diesel.
And tell me what diesel's options you're looking at, George.
Well, I mean, right now I drive a Dodge Ram, a Hemi, V8.
Okay.
And I love the thing, but I don't really know diesels.
Okay.
That too. If you don't know diesel, stick with the gas and keep on going.
Yeah, there's merit to that.
Yeah,
I like
absolutely.
That. I like
absolutely.
That. If you're happy, I think
because the diesel you don't want to drive like a gas engine, you know,
and the maintenance is different.
Maintenance
and
is different.
Cooling
everything.
System's different. Everything is different.
Yep.
Which diesel are you looking at with respect to the motorhome you're at? Are you looking at the what diesel motor you're looking at?
Well, that's why I called you.
Okay. Well, the Dodge is going to be the 6.7. And if you get a Freightliner chassis, right. I just bought a motorhome sitting on a Freightliner chassis, and I've got a Cummins 11-liter in there, and I think it's got 360 right. horsepower. And that thing would move Scottsdale south of Chandler if I ask it to. So I haul right. horses, too, and I've hauled 4-horse trailer behind, but my motorhomes were a Bounder, and I had a 460 in it. Uh-huh. I had that. I also had the Duramax in one of my motorhomes, that 6.6 liter GM motor. I don't know that I'd buy a motorhome with the 6-liter Ford. I don't know that I'd buy a motorhome with the 6.4 liter, but I sure as heck would buy the 7.3 if you could find one.
If you could find one,
if
yeah.
you could find one.
Yeah.
And did I tell you about the Excursion I just bought?
You did.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've been looking for a 7.3 myself because I've got horses I want to haul. And I found an Excursion that had really low miles. It's 20 years old. It has the 7.3 in it. And the possibilities are endless on how you can make that thing a romping, stomping, Chevrolet-eaten, Ford-eaten vehicle.
Yeah.
It's just you can. And so
a lot of fun.
A lot of fun to deal with is the old 7.3. But the 6.7 Ford, the 6.7 Dodge, you can't go wrong with either one of those in the application you're talking about. And you're going to have an Allison transmission behind at least two of those,
yes,
I think.
I believe so.
And if you find something that's used, you're even better off because that person, if they've been hauling a boat that's got two axles on it and it weighs about the same as your horse trailer, then you're home free.
Yeah.
But I think you're just limited with just two diesels, and that's the Dodge and the GM.
Do not look at the V10.
You can look at the V10. I've owned a V10 on a Ford chassis with a Bounder box on it, and I didn't have any problem with the V10. The V10s weren't the greatest motors when they first came out, but neither was any of the rest of them. So they used us as customers to help them figure out and fix the damn pieces of crap that they sold us. But the V10 today is a good motor.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's a good strong engine. And there's some modifications that you can make to all three of those motors to enhance the power level just a tad. That help you?
I figured now would be the time with the downturn in the economy for me to look for one that would give me what I want.
Okay.
I'm tired of taking my horses to a place and then going to a motel. I'm just tired of doing that.
I understand.
I'm looking for something that my wife and I can handle, and
okay.
have some fun with.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, I've been married 40. It'll be 48 years here pretty quick. I married her when she was 10, okay? So just don't even ask me this next question on your mind. But my wife's driven every motorhome, including the one that we just bought on the Freightliner chassis. She drives that. So, you know, it's a matter. And Renee's philosophy is if the nose will fit, the ass will fit. And that's not necessarily the case, but it is funny to hear a woman say that. There's lots and lots and lots of wives, and when we go to motorhome rallies, there's lots of wives that know how to drive those big rigs.
Yep.
From 30, I mean, you're going to be in the 28 to 36 foot range on the 2-horse trailer that you're looking
at. Right, right.
And so, yeah, I think if she has especially if you just let her, I wouldn't take her to Estes Park and have her run that one highway, that $1 million highway in your new motorhome with the trailer. But if you go from here to Tucson, that's a good place. That's where my wife kind of learned how to drive all of our coaches and on the straight runs from here to, Albuquerque and stuff like that across the 40. So good luck to you, George. Thank you very much. And let's go to Jim. Jim, good morning. How can we help you?
Hey, good morning. I have my wife's 2013 GMC Acadia is making some front end noise. I'm a mechanic, but I work on rental equipment, United Rental type stuff, and so most of my tools and most of my time are at my other job. And I put shocks and struts all the way around after we purchased it last year, and took it down, had an alignment done immediately, and everything was fine for a while, but it's just a year later and the front end feels a little soft, but more than that, I'm getting a clunk when she turns, I think it's all the way to the left, so I suspect there might be a rack and pinion problem, but it could just be loose strut or something, I'm not sure. And then very recently, the left front tire is showing a lot of inner tire wear, so I know her alignment is off.
Okay.
I'm looking for a good shop, either up by my work, which is 101 and Highway 17, or down here in Glendale near 55th and Olive area.
Okay. Well, up on I-17, and you got Kurtz at Bell and I-17.
1 minute.
You got Action Auto at, where is he at?
Deer Valley
and I-17.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right by my work. And that's Action Auto?
Yeah, Action Auto. And, okay. I mean, both of those guys are going to be able to help you. Here's to save yourself money. You know this, but I'm saying it for everybody else that's listening, okay? You and I know this. Learn how to make the noise happen so you can teach them how to do it. And then your diagnostic is cut in half when you do that.
Sure.
But the inside wear is a concern.
Yep.
And the noise is a concern, but other than that, there's nothing else that you said that would not let you and your wife take my grandkids to Disneyland and that thing after you fix it.
Yeah, no, I'm comfortable with the car. I don't feel like it's unsafe or anything like that. But I want to address this issue because I want to put new tires all the way around and after. The repairs after the tires is a bad idea. Get the repairs out of the way.
Yeah, I think you just play it straight. I would appreciate it if you came into my shop and you said, I work on equipment for a living. I work on big stuff for a living. But you guys, I want you to help me diagnose it. And so can you have somebody come out? Can I demonstrate the noise? Can I look, show them the tire? And then what's your charge to check it out and give me an estimate to fix the tire wear issue and fix the noise and tell me what the diagnostic is. And then later you can tell me what the total price is going to be. That's the conversation. That's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I wish you would have called about 2 weeks ago when I had my Genie forklift. And I had no spark or fuel, and there was a $600 engine module on the son of a gun, and I was too scared to change it. And then I took it in, and they changed it, and it starts and runs really good, but it cost a lot of money. But he knew, and he had equipment that I didn't have.
Right.
I knew I had no spark and fuel. And it's that stupid little Ford. And you know, I never should have bought that Ford. You got me all wound up. My underwear is caught in places it doesn't belong.
Well, you take my number down and you can call me anytime you've had equipment issues. That I can manage no problem.
I have
one last question.
Go ahead.
Maybe you two are familiar with this. This GMC, we purchased it used. If you're driving, let's say my wife is doing 30 miles an hour, on an inside road, and she lets off the gas. When she goes back to the gas, there's a lag, and then the acceleration kind of hits hard. It's not in the engine. It feels like play in the transmission.
I'm
wondering if that's a common.
Here's what I want you to do. I'm up against a brake, but that's what I want you to do. I want you to do the same thing, but I want your left foot on the brake just enough to shine the brake light, and I bet the problem goes away. I bet the problem goes away if you're shining the brake light with your left. Not enough to slow it down, just enough to shine the brake light. I think you're going in and out of overdrive, and that's what the clunk you're hearing. And that's very normal from 30 to about 45, 50 miles an hour. And so I think you'll find that it's a transmission, and it's not a problem. It's just that she's real light-footed. So she's not on it more than 30%, and she's backing off. And when you're sweet-spotting the throttle like that, it'll upshift on you.
Yeah.
And when it gets into high gear, then you just barely touch the throttle, and the first things it wants to do is downshift. So try it my way, or pull it out of overdrive and have her go to drive and drive it, and I bet the problem goes away.
I see. So if it's not shifting into overdrive, then you wouldn't have that lag.
That's right.
That's the problem.
That's right. Okay.
Okay. And you said it was Action Auto?
Action Auto, I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner.
Okay. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Guys.
You betcha. We'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we're going to go straight to the phone and get Gary, because he's been waiting. And we have four open lines available, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Gary, how are you? How can we help you?
Good morning. Thank you. I have a two questions on my 2000 Ford Super Duty 7.3.
Okay.
And that relates to the high-pressure oil hoses from the pump to the head. What kind of case of life do those have? What's their wear life? Mine are bone dry. They work fine, but I was just wondering, is that a wear item a guy should do at a certain time?
If, in my opinion, if you go to have that system serviced, replace the hoses. Ford has updated those hoses, so I'm assuming you have the, you can physically see the steel braided hose?
Yes, I can.
Yes, okay. So Ford has redesigned that a little bit and actually covered it, so you can't see that steel braiding anymore. Some of those kind of chafe, and when you grab them, you get stung.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you go to remove those at the age of the truck right now, they're probably not going to come off very easy, and they may not go back on again. So that's why I say if you ever service that system, replace them.
Okay.
But other than that, if they're dry, leave them alone.
Okay, great.
And
that's all I had.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say one. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just thank you for that answer, and then, Mark, I had a statement for you.
Okay.
Thank you for making me the best mechanic in my wife's eyes. You know why? Because when you go to the doctor, tell him where it hurts, and then back off and let him do his thing. And you know what? That serves a great purpose.
Oh, you're
that's
more than
welcome. That's a great analogy.
It is.
That's
it,
great.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And you know, the high-pressure lines, I'm thinking, I don't know that we've ever had anybody come in. Now, when that high-pressure line blows, it's going to blow oil from the windshield all over the engine compartment and all the way down the underside of the truck and all over the tailgate. So you know when somebody comes in with a high-pressure hose that's blown.
Right.
I don't know that I've ever seen one of those.
No.
But that doesn't give – that's not to say to him, oh, just drive until they blow. That's not a good idea.
Do they leak at the fittings? Yes.
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever seen one blow myself.
Uh-huh.
But keep in mind, if they do blow, that's 3,000 PSI oil.
And it's going to empty the oil in the oil pan in the blink of two eyes.
Right. Which is okay, because once it runs out of oil, it doesn't run. So it stalls and it saves itself. But
you have one hell of a mess.
You got a mess, for
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you got black diesel oil everywhere, all over, underneath the hood and underneath the car and on the tailgate.
Yep.
So you got no choice.
Yep. And the guy behind you.
Yeah. The guy behind you. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I like that. That's good. Oh, gosh. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Brian and Thelma had a bad luck. They had a storm not too long ago that caved in some of the roof of their shop.
Oh, wow.
So their insurance company stepped up. Brian's got some construction background, and his family stepped up, and him and Thelma and the shop put the shop back together. So the only shop in Mesa that I can put my name on and say he'll treat you fairly, he knows right from wrong, he's been around a long time, he has good technicians, that's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They've been in Mesa since 1970. They have ASE certified technicians, and they're on Main Street just east of Stapley, so they're centrally located when it comes to Mesa. But he's the only shop. There's been shops that have applied to be on Mark Salem's best car repair shops list, but I'm kind of picky about geographics, and I'm kind of picky about how long you've been in business, and I haven't picked anybody so far that's been in business 2 years. I like to see 10, 15, and 20 years of business, because I was the worst businessman in the world the first 2 years I was in business, because I was an asshole and I thought I was right about everything, and I was young and I was stupid. And my wife would say that that's still the case today.
Right. Learned a lot over the years.
And we did. We learned a lot.
Yes.
We learned a lot. I can remember times where my wife goes, "How'd that work for you?" And I said, you know, if I could do that all over again, I'd sure do it different.
Yeah.
I'd sure do it different.
Yeah.
But then again, that's the way it is. Working on cars is not easy. The hardest part is getting the customer just to answer our questions. And the answers are yes, no, or I don't know. And so don't make anything up. A lot of times the wives and the females of the family will say, call my husband, and that's okay. We're willing to do that. You
yep.
are too.
Yep, absolutely.
And so we have the questions. This knocking noise, is it turning right or turning left? Is it on the driver's side? Is it on the passenger side? I know that we're boring you to death, but we're trying to save you some money. If you don't answer any of these questions, I could spend $300 of your money trying to find it. But if you'll just talk to me, if you'll just answer my questions, I think I can cut that number in half.
Right.
So it just makes a big difference with respect to that. And the hardest part is that it only does it intermittently. And my famous line is you only have two choices. You wait till it gets worse and easier to find, or we start spending money on guessing, and that's all it is just guessing.
Right.
And to be honest with you, on some of those guessing kind of things, I'm no better than 50-50. I'm no better than 50-50, but if you want to guess, then here's your menu, pick one, and then we'll go from there.
Right.
These are things that have fixed your problem. So. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and I think we're going to be coming up on 30 here in just a minute. The lines are wide open. There's five of them. And we can do gas motors and we can do diesel motors, but just that both of us are in the diesel and I'm in the gas business, but you're in the gas business to some extent as well, right?
Some extent. Yeah. The 2% that I work on every now and then.
Yeah. And we started with the diesels at 2%.
Right.
And they're probably about 35 to 50% now, but we're also doing some of the stuff, the ads.
2 minutes.
You know, the tires and the wheels and the exhaust and all that kind of stuff, just like you do.
Yep.
But we're miles apart. Nate is up at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, and our shop is in South Tempe. So while we're the very best of friends, and you know, somebody said the other day, how well do you know Nate? And I said, really, really well. And they said, well, I mean, what happens if somebody comes up to you and says, well, Nate said that you don't know what you're talking about? And I said, well, first of all, if you see Nate, Nate's like 8'9" tall, and he's not one I'm likely to be able to whip, but I am going to call him and ask him why, if he said that. But the idea is that when you're friends in the industry, it means a lot.
Yes.
It's just a matter of you respect. Now, there's other guys that do tires and wheels in town that I respect. There's other guys that do exhaust that I respect.
Yep.
But we each have a geographical area that we can work in.
And there's plenty of work to go around.
Oh, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And Gil, what'd you say?
1 minute.
Okay, thank you for that. See, Gil knows me now.
Gil.
He's Mark's completely lost control of the show. And so he says, 1 minute, Mark, 1 minute. And so it's 15 seconds, 16 seconds, so I really have like 45 seconds to just kill.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about Nate at Strictly Diesel, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. And you started doing business when?
2005.
And we met shortly after that.
Yep.
And that's because one of the tool truck guys said, if you haven't talked to this guy, he really is a diesel guy. And that's when we first start talking. And I've always been impressed with your knowledge and your ability on the Chevy and the Ford and the Dodge. And you can imagine, folks, that I call Nate every once in a while and ask him, hey, this is what I'm faced with. Help me out. Anyway, we got open lines available, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. You have 1 in 5 chance of getting an open line, and we'll do our best to answer your question. I'm Mark Salem. He's Nate. We'll be back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Nate from Strictly Diesel sitting next to me, and he's here helping me out with car questions and stuff like that. So we're going to go. We have three lines open right now, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We're going to go to Randy. And, Brian, you stay right there because you're number two. But, Randy, how can we help you?
Good afternoon. I have a question regarding a Buick Riviera. It's a 74. Now, it's been sitting up in my garage now for a few years, but it's still in good condition. My question to you, real brief, is what are some good garages in the Metro Phoenix area, that I could have this vehicle looked at?
Okay.
What are some credible garages that I could take this vehicle to?
All right. Where do you live?
I live in the North Phoenix area. I live off, well, my major crossroad would be Thunderbird Road.
Okay. And I-17 or Scottsdale Road or?
I-17.
Okay, okay. All right, well, we've got Action Auto. Your old Riviera, we all grew up on that car. So I'm sending you to guys that drove that car, that probably kissed a girl in that car, that worked on that car, that kind of stuff. So Action Auto
that
is
car, a lot of Action Auto.
Action Auto is I-17 and Deer Valley Northwest corner. A little further south from him is Kurtz Automotive, I-17 and Bell.
Okay.
Both Kurtz and Action. We know that car inside and out. We know the air conditioning. We know the ignition. We need fuel. We know everything. We know the alignment specifications by heart, probably. So that's a wonderful car. You know it's a wonderful car. It's a big old boat with a big motor.
Yes. Yes. 455. It's 22 feet long.
Yeah.
But you know what, Mark? Oh. If you've seen that car fully restored, you couldn't take your eyes off of it. This one is burgundy, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep it this color. But it's a thing of beauty. And when it's restored, you're talking about power. Well, you know what the motors are like from that era.
Yeah.
But they're truck motors, basically. They're that powerful. But appreciate you giving me this.
Okay. I want to draw a distinction here, okay? Action Auto and Kurtz Automotive are good for normal maintenance, normal repairs, and stuff like that.
Right.
Neither one of them do restos. Okay. If you're going to do a restoration, you got to go to Blackwell. And he's over on Greenway and 40th Street. But last time I talked to him, he's like a year behind. And so, if you go to his shop and say, I want to walk through your shop, I want to see some of the cars you're doing, he'll do a restoration with respect to putting it back the way it was when it was new, or he'll take your Riviera and put a new air conditioning system in it and improve the carburetor and improve the relays and improve some of the electrical on the front end. I mean, we can always update those cars without negatively affecting the performance or the value of the car. But Blackwell's the resto guy, but either Kurtz or Action can do the maintenance on it, and they both of those guys were around when your car first came out.
I'll say. Now, I know you're not Barrett Jackson, but if I had that car fully restored, I could get would you say 30 maybe?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I'm a terrible guy to ask that to, but I'll tell you what I will do for you, okay? If you'll email me the car information, mark@marksalem.com. Mark@marksalem.com. I happen to know a guy over at Bear Jackson, and I'm going to say to him, hey, run this 64 Riviera through and give me the pranges and give me the quality, and he'll do that for me.
Oh, I appreciate that. You have a quality program.
Thank you.
I listen every chance I get, and you take care.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your kind words, too. Brian, you're up next. How can we help you, buddy?
Hey, Mark. I do a lot of my own maintenance and wrenches for years on my own cars and stuff. And I've been looking around for a scanner. I don't need a $4,000, $5,000 scanner that obviously you use.
One minute.
But I was trying to figure out, you know, the price range goes from, you know, less than $50 to thousands. Trying to find out what basic features you might recommend, what systems, hey, get one that at least does, you know, the ABS and transmission and engine, or, you know, just trying to find some information there. What features you would at least want to be able to recommend without spending thousands?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Nate. You got a comment?
I want to say, check out Auto Ingenuity. I want to say they're a Phoenix-based company, but we used to sell their product quite a bit for 7.3 and 6.0 stuff. It's laptop-based. I think it's a download now. There may be a box you get with some stuff and what have you, but check out their pricing, and that might be exactly what you want, because it's better than the AutoZone scanner, and it's not as complicated as the ones we have at our shop, but, it's a good base.
Oh, now, so you're going to open the door, and shoved me through the door.
Why am I shoving?
Because can you see my, the veins in my neck? I'm teasing you.
I know.
Let me explain, Brian, and I'm going to take a break right after I get done with this so I can cool off. The scanner is going to give you codes that doesn't tell you what's wrong with the car. It gives you the code. That's a guess from somebody in China, okay? So they can guess all they want. O2 sensor codes can be caused by a head gasket that's blown. So you have those problems. But serial stream data. You want some device, and I agree with your platform, a PC-based platform that plugs into the assembly line data link, the ALDL connector, that gives you serial stream data, because that's what we do. We go look at the serial stream data. We know what it's supposed to say. We know what it's supposed to do. And if it's running rich and the O2 sensor's screaming 0.9, 0.9, 0.9, then okay, it's running rich and the O2 sensor sees that. On the other hand, if the O2 sensor's screaming 0.1, 0.1, and it says it's running rich, it's after the O2 sensor that's causing the problem. But what you need is something with serial stream data. Otherwise, you want to see the actual data. And with that, and some books that probably come with the product you talked about, then they're going to give you those parameters.
Yep.
It's not that hard. Let me just give it to you real simple. Real simple. Everything in the car is 1 to 5 volts. 1 is low, 5 is high. That's all there is to it. So engine vacuum, no matter if it's throttle, no matter if it's timing, no matter what it is, it's 1 to 5. And 1 is low and 5 is high. That's it. And so once you figure that out, then you'll be able to do your own stuff. I got to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. And we're sitting here with Nate from Strictly Diesel. And Nate does diesel work. I asked him to bring me some information, and he said, here's a GMC Sierra pickup truck that we just worked on with a 6.6. Here's a Ford F-350 that has a 6-liter. 6-liter.
6-liter.
I thought most of those had gone to the boneyard.
No,
right now.
Not even close.
They're still there?
They're all over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then he's got a Dodge Ram with a 6.7, which will be there forever and ever.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. That's what Alan says. If you keep driving the truck the way you drive the truck, Dad, and haul those big tractors up and down the mountain, and I'm looking at your EGTs because it's recording all that for me. And I said, son, aluminum melts at 1,100. And so far, I haven't melted any pistons.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Okay, so have you had somebody that brought in a truck on a tow truck where the motor was just scattered?
Yes.
And so give me the 1, 2, 3 before the motor scattered.
Well, that's always the question. We never get the full answer.
Give me your best guess.
Fully loaded, wide open, up the mountain, trying to do 80.
Okay.
And, oh, by the way, I changed my oil every 20,000. And, you know, I run it low at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And so this thing comes in and it blows everything out the bottom of the motor?
Yeah. Rods, everything out.
Just blew it up from the inside out?
Yep.
And was there signs of melting from EGTs before that?
We never take, on an instance like this, the motor doesn't come apart.
Okay.
We just replace the assembly.
Right.
So chances are yes.
Okay.
But
I would have liked to have dropped a camera down in the glow plug area and look at the top of the piston to see what EGTs would do. Exhaust gas temperatures.
Well, that I have seen. It does change the piston. It melts it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, when people say, what kind of EGTs should I stay away from? What do you say?
1250 or below.
Okay, because that's where aluminum melts.
Right. 1250 or below is where you want to stay. Anything exactly. Over that?
Yeah. I wouldn't be in that 1250 and above area very long.
Correct.
Very long.
Correct.
Yeah. Not too long ago, Alan looks at mine and he goes, I see it recorded 1500. And I said, that was going downhill, son. I had just picked up a Bobcat, and I was bringing it up to the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And I came up the mountain, and I looked down, and I had warning bells come on, and I knew. All I did was I slowed down a little bit, and I dropped a gear to give me a little bit more power,
yep.
and I backed off the throttle maybe 400 RPM, and it cooled right down.
Yep.
And so it
doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much to recover from stupid.
Right.
And that's Dodge, Chevy, and Ford.
That's all.
Would you
of them.
Agree?
That's all of them.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And the truck I spoke of, by the way, that scattered was a Cummins.
Oh, is that right?
Just throwing it out there.
Okay. No, no. I can. If somebody would say, I'll give you $10,000 if I can put cameras underneath the hood of your car, and I want you to blow up your motor. If I can put a motor in for $10,000, I'm game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, we know it's no different. There isn't a motor out there that you and I, not diesel or gas, that we couldn't blow up if we wanted to.
Sure.
Just advance the timing until she rattles like a big dog and take it out there and, on a Sunday day and climb Mount Ord
right.
as fast as you can.
Right.
I'm not suggesting that you do that. I'm just giving an example of if you wanted to blow up your motor, you could do it that way.
Right.
But there's enough people out there popping their motors. and I don't understand. In order to have the thing come in on a tow truck and the motor to be junk from front to back, you can't tell me you didn't hear anything and you didn't have any warning lights.
I agree with that statement. Yes, there had to be something giving you a telltale that was like, oh, something's wrong. I should probably slow down or stop or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then the computer is scheduled to give you this parameter. When you walk up to the end parameter and you stay there for a long period of time, sometime the newer model cars, and certainly for the last 5 years or so, they'll start taking away your foot throttle. They'll
right.
start backing it off. They're going right. to say, I'm not going to let you damage me. But on some of the ones that are a little older than that, we don't have those protections built in.
There's usually an overspeed code.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So when it comes in on a tow truck and the whole bottom of the motor's blown out on the ground,
yeah.
and then you have an overspeed code.
Yeah. And that's vehicle speed. That's not engine speed. But obviously they relate. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And that's the dad says, well, and then the story goes, my son took this out on it with a bunch of guys, and they decided to go up to Four Peaks and play around, and they towed it back in. What do you think?
We tried to climb Four Peaks with the truck, so, yeah.
Somewhere along the line, he went too fast.
Exactly.
That's really what it boils down to, is somewhere yeah. along the line, he went too fast.
There was a hold my beer moment.
Oh, yeah. Watch this. You've got to say that. Watch
yeah.
this. Hold my beer.
Yeah.
And then all hell breaks loose.
Yep.
But you've been a part of that, though.
Sure.
Okay.
We all have.
That's how we learn.
Yeah.
And through the grace of God, in my case, God had to teach me a couple of times, and each time it was progressively more expensive.
Yes, exactly.
So you get to the point where you go, okay, I know where the boundary is.
Right.
I know where the boundary is.
Yep.
Tires. Selling a lot of tires?
I don't sell tires.
At all? Okay.
No.
Do you have a preference with respect to brands, or do you have a preference? See that off-roaders are using one particular brand over another or anything like that at all?
No preference.
Okay.
I tell people go to Discount Tire. We seem to have a decent relationship with them, so, you know, they take care of us. As far as preference, myself, I'll buy a Cooper mm-hmm. or what's the other brand name right now? I can't think of. But I will stay away from the Firestone and the Michelin. I won't buy those anymore for just problems that I've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we're just like everybody else and many of our customers because of something that happened in the past.
Right.
I don't want Valvoline because in 1932, my dad had lost a motor.
Exactly.
And we had to all eat oatmeal for a week because he had Valvoline in it.
Yeah.
So we hear that all the time.
Yeah.
But it is amusing to me. And in a bad way, it's not. I'm not supposed to be amused, but it is amused because you get somebody towed in and you look underneath it and the oil pan's missing and there's holes in the side of the block.
Yeah.
And you go, I can hardly wait to hear this story.
Exactly.
And and inevitably, it's the person that's standing in front of you is telling you in a third-party way, he said this or he said that, and it could be the wife talking about her husband, it could be the husband talking about his wife, or it could be the husband talking about his son or
right.
his daughter or whatever, but it's always kind of in a third person kind of thing.
Sure.
And the answer is it really doesn't make any difference what happened. It's the recovery. You know, what's happened has happened. And when you put a new motor back in it, you're going to go drive it and you're going to make sure the parameters are all good. You're going to go through all the serial stream data and you're going to look at all the historical stuff. You're going to clean up a lot of the historical stuff, just clean it and get rid of it. But you'll have a good idea of what happened on the backside of that transaction. How often are you doing motors?
Lately? Quite a bit.
And so are we.
Yeah.
I don't know why do you have a rationale for that? I mean, we just came through the summer. And we're just doing an abnormal amount.
We could talk about this, I think, the rest of the day, but I've got to believe it's partly economy, and guys don't want to spend six figures on a new truck. So I like what I have. I'll fix it and keep on going for a few more years, you know.
I would have never guessed that, but I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I say to people, yes, the engine, all right, give me a 6 liter replacement, long block replacement off the top of your head.
13 to 15.
Okay, and that includes all the oil, all the filters, all the belts, all the hoses, all the antifreeze, all the labor, all the parts, everything. I mean, that's sales tax, everything.
It'd probably be a little more with all the hoses and belts and everything else, but yeah, okay. It's in that area.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's difficult to bid it, and so most of us are going to bid it high.
And 6 liters are coming in right now, not so much with head gasket issues anymore, but now they're leaking oil.
Oh, yeah.
So I can either repair your oil leaks and do the head gaskets for this, or we put a complete assembly in, and it's cheaper.
And update you
at the same time.
At the same time.
Yep.
But it's that way in cars and trucks and sport utility vehicles and all that other kind of stuff. I think every motor we fix has been damaged by, and I say this with a smile, the nut behind the wheel.
Absolutely.
Whether they'll admit it or not.
Yeah.
Every motor we've replaced has been damaged by a tremendous overheat, or they ran it low on oil or out of oil, or they did something wrong. And somebody abused it.
And those nuts include you and me.
Oh, no. So, and I say to them, the reason I know how this motor met its God is because I had a motor that looked like this one time.
Exactly.
And I knew the driver.
Yeah,
I knew what happened.
Yep.
So it's just one of those things. It's no different than when somebody brings a four-wheel drive in. And I had one the other day. The drive shaft's got a big bend in it. And the drive shaft's no longer attached to the differential, and the whole bottom of the bed's beat up, and the back of the transfer case is blown up.
Yeah.
So somebody was jumping it.
Yeah.
And they bent the drive shaft, and they kept their foot on the gas, and that drive shaft just vibrated and blew up everything it was touching.
Yep.
And it just came in on a tow truck, and it was just, you look at it and you go, we're talking from the flywheel to the motor backwards.
Exactly.
Everything's new.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're going to be in a big trouble.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes one of those things that you and I were kids and teenagers at one time or another, but I find it's kind of to be there when dad and son are there, you know, and dad's talking and he keeps looking at the son and the son doesn't really want to talk.
Yeah. Son doesn't want to say anything.
He doesn't want to offer up any suggestions or how did it happen or anything
usually
like that.
Usually heads down and he's quiet.
Yeah.
So.
And there's nothing really that we as owners can do to help him. It's just really a matter of, well, let us look at it and we'll give you an estimate for the repair. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
But we're seeing that with diesels. We're not seeing it with a lot of other passenger cars, even those little front-wheel drive, ying, 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 ying cars that the kids like. We're not seeing a lot of those that come in with all torn up. But the diesels, of course, weigh a little bit more, and they have a little bit more torque. And when you get them stuck, you can usually bury the throttle and get all four tires spinning. And you may not move an inch, but you can get all four tires spinning.
Yep.
So
yep.
It makes a difference.
Yep.
Well, we talked about oil, tires. We sell a lot of Toyo tires. Toyo tires are made in Atlanta, Georgia. And Alan got an opportunity to go to their factory.
Wow.
And it's pretty special in how they kick tires out that don't pass the test, and then they rotate them back and they do an examination and all this other kind of stuff. So I tell people, I know that the Toyo tires sounds like Japanese and sounds like this, but these are made in Atlanta, Georgia. And here's more important, than you go out there into the parking lot and there's 7 Salem vehicles there. My wife and my kids and grandsons and they all have Toyos on them. Our rental cars, our shop trucks, everything has Toyos on them.
Nice.
That's one of the tires that we like. And we like our relationship with the tire company more than anything else.
Good to know. Yeah.
It's not really a matter of them doing anything for us or buttering our bread or giving us discounts or nothing like that at all. It's really just a matter of we have a good tire and a good product and they stand behind it. And if we have a problem, we work through it together.
Right.
And it's the same kind of relationship that we had with BF Goodrich in the 70s.
Yeah.
And with Michelin in the 90s.
Right.
So it's the same kind of a relationship, a good relationship between the installer and the tire maker.
That's good.
And we both need to do our job well, otherwise we're going to blacken the eye of either ourselves or the tire company.
Exactly.
And the tire company won't be shy about saying, no, I'm not taking that black eye. Salem probably should have put more weights on that tire. Or, I don't understand why he's got 11 pounds of lead on the tire. I think his balancer needed to be recalibrated.
Right.
Those kinds of things.
Sure.
So anyway, folks, if you need information about car stuff or anything like that at all, you can go to marksalem.com. It's easy to go. We have FAQs there, and I think there's 50 or 60 of them. And the FAQs are there because the same question's been asked on many radio shows time and time again. So we keep track of the questions, and then we turn around and we create an FAQ about them. On there is also the best car repair shops, according to Mark Salem. These are guys that I know. These are guys that are really good at what they do, and they're geographically spread out throughout the Phoenix metropolitan area. So if you're looking for a garage, you can go there to marksalem.com. I don't make any commission on the bill. I'm not involved in your relationship with the shop other than if there's a problem. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm lucky enough to tell you this. I might have one problem a year that can be fixed in 10 minutes. And that's how quick it can be. So there is a certain pattern there that we have time and time again. So mark@marksalem.com is my email address. mark@marksalem.com. See you next Saturday here on KKNT 960. Mm-hmm.